Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. On Beacon Hill, the current legislative session is winding down, and it's not at all clear if there's going to be enough time for lawmakers to resolve a disagreement over a three-strikes crime bill. The House and Senate overwhelmingly passed the so-called habitual offender bill, which would bar parole for most three-time violent felons.
But over the weekend, Governor Deval Patrick sent the bill back, insisting on changes that would give judges some discretion on sentencing those violent offenders. Now, proponents of the bill say that would take the teeth out of the law. And right now, the House is preparing to take up the measure any minute. The Boston Herald has reported today that House Speaker Robert DeLeo expects that the House will reject the governor's proposal.
Joining us now is Senate Minority Leader Bruce Tarr. He's a Republican from Gloucester and a supporter of the bill. And Senator Tarr, good to have you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks. Great to be with you.
So Governor Deval Patrick says he won't sign the bill unless it expands judicial flexibility, that it should include a so-called safety valve to give judges the possibility of circumventing three strikes when they deem it necessary. Now, why are you opposed to this idea of the safety valve that the governor has proposed?
Well, there are two reasons. Number one, the reason that we have this bill in the first place is because discretion was abused and dangerous folks were let out onto the streets to commit murder and other violent crimes against people. Number two, this is a concept that was rejected by the conference committee overwhelmingly. It was not seriously considered by the House or the Senate. And if the governor wants to take this issue up, then he should do it next year and let us get onto his desk and pass into law a bill that he has called in his own public pronouncements a very good and balanced bill. Why he would risk that improvement for public safety for this extraordinary measure for violent criminals is very difficult to understand.
We spoke to retired U.S. District Judge Nancy Gertner a while back about this bill. This was several months ago. And back then, she was opposed to it because she says it would trade judicial discretion for prosecutorial discretion. Let's just listen for a second here.
The prosecutor chooses what the category of crime is, and therefore whether someone is going away for a long time. In a mandatory minimum situation, the judge is a bystander. I would rather have a judge exercising discretion subject to appeal and accountability in a transparent way rather than a prosecutor deciding that this is a three strikes case.
Senator, what's your response to that point?
I think the judge needs to go back and read the bill. And a prosecutor doesn't decide whether something's a three strikes case. Each of these crimes would have to be the subject of a separate conviction, in which case the judge would consider all of the circumstances and find the defendant guilty or innocent. The kind of process the judge is referring to simply isn't even in the bill. What the bill says is that on the third conviction, the individual would be subject to the sentence, the full sentence for which they were convicted. And in addition to that, it seems like somewhat of a knee-jerk reaction by a judge looking to protect the turf of judges. And that's not something that we would find surprising, but it's certainly not something that should guide the actions of the legislature as an independent branch.
But, Senator, isn't the safety valve sort of almost like a backstop to give judges that final bit of discretion before the state imposes the harshest sentence available?
Well, number one, the judge still has to find that sentence in the third conviction, and the individual is going to serve the full sentence. So this notion that somehow this is justice on autopilot, again, simply doesn't reflect the reality of the bill. Number two, there is judicial discretion in the bill because on the third conviction, there would be a review to ensure that the third conviction was properly secured and rightly decided. And so for those that say there's no discretion in the bill, again, I refer them back to the bill. If they'd like to call our office, we'll provide them with a copy of it. And in addition to that, the governor himself, through the process of trying to commute a sentence or adjust the sentence through the governor's council, has the very discretion that he's seeking to impose back into the bill. And so, again, for a number of reasons, this is really beginning to look like a red herring for folks that simply don't want the bill, but are trying to find reasons to justify a delay, which is totally unnecessary, given the fact that there are only 2 days left in the formal legislative session.
Is the governor's proposal a poison pill, or are you considering accepting the proposal in order to pass pass this crime bill? In other words, is it better to get something rather than nothing?
Well, the question is the bill even meaningful if we have a judicial override, which again would reimpose judicial discretion in a bill intended to limit judicial discretion? It's circular reasoning, and the issue here is going to be, is the legislature willing to accept a provision which runs contrary to its stated goal in protecting public safety and ensuring that folks after three violent offenses for which they've served at least 3 years, there still needs to be some form of discretion. I don't think many legislators are going to agree with that proposition, and I think the governor is aware of that because the conference committee rejected this idea. And so you have to ask yourself the question, why doesn't the governor say this is still a good bill? He's already said it in writing, and he's already said it publicly, and this additional extraordinary provision, which would protect the interest of violent criminals, should be something that we take up next year in the legislative session, but let's not jeopardize a very good bill by his own admission that has bipartisan support that people have worked long and hard on, and he's been involved in those conversations. Why would we jeopardize that for this 11th hour amendment to add something that many of us would argue isn't even necessary?
Last question, Senator. I know you've got to run. If you send this bill back to the governor and he vetoes it after the session has ended, then what? I mean, do you come back and do this again next session?
Then the governor will have to live with the consequences of having vetoed an important public safety protection that by his own admission and in his own words he said is a good and balanced bill. We are unlikely to come back because we try to hold those rules firm, and there have been many instances in the past where we've resisted the temptation to break our own rules and come back even on an issue as important as this. So I think it needs to be clearly understood that if the governor holds this bill past Tuesday for veto, then what he's doing, and he would be doing it intentionally, is ensuring that it doesn't pass. And I think folks have a right to ask, why would the governor of the Commonwealth put the clock and the calendar in a position of deciding this issue? Why not let the legislature do it as we were entitled to do and required to do under the Constitution? I hope he'll think differently of that strategy, and if he has a difference of opinion with us, send it back to us right away with a veto so we can take it up and we can express our opinion on where this bill should go.
Bruce Tarr is a Republican from Gloucester. He's also the Senate Minority Leader. Senator Tarr, thanks so much for joining us today. We're very grateful.
Thank you very much, and really appreciate the chance to talk about the bill.
And the House is taking up this bill as we speak, so stay tuned to WBUR for how the so-called three strikes legislation turns out over the course of the day. But stay with Radio Boston right now, because up next, financial literacy in Massachusetts. Maybe it's time we rethink what we think we know about money. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.